Man, if you could just bow your head just for a moment, man. There's just been obviously a lot taking place. Thanks, bro. There's been so much going on. And my concern, honestly, is that we get so focused on these things that are really now out of our control, whether it's election one side or the other, whether it is the season of COVID and just the craziness. But sometimes we can just, the enemy can kind of creep in there and we can just get our focus in the wrong place. We kind of briefly touched on this and seek. But what happens when you focus on everything around you and you stop focusing on the very one who has secured your soul? Man, I've been doing a soul search for myself, saying, has this thing affected my soul? I mean, you got to know, man, I pray for my family, Renee, Carter, Olivia, and Ethan in very specific ways for each one of them. I pray for the amazing team that God has allowed me to lead in regards to our staff and their children in particular ways for each one of them. And I pray for the church in a particular way. And honestly, for a couple weeks, it's really been, for my family, it's been quite a while, but for a couple weeks, I've really been focused on the soul, and on really asking people, hey, how's your soul? Has this thing affected your soul? Now you look at post-election, which is just an absolute puzzle, man. It's just a mess. Man, people are losing their marbles. And I think there's just times that we just got to come back to a place to honestly just refocus. Psalm 103, and this is where I've landed, because if you allow things to sink into your soul, that's when you get in trouble. That's when you get in trouble, right? Because your soul, as your soul goes, there you go. 1 John 3. I don't have time to get into all of that. Maybe next week we'll see. I don't know. 1 John 3, it says, as your soul goes, you go. As your soul prospers, you prosper. So the big question is, how's your soul? Like, have you allowed all of the crazy circumstances way out of your control to come to a place to have an impact on your soul, where your emotions are and where your fear comes from and where worry comes from? It all comes from the soul. Man, I want to walk into places and say, God, I want my soul to be concrete. I want my soul to be fearless. I want my soul to be courageous. I want my soul to be bold. Like, this is what we pray. This is how our soul goes. Man, I want my soul to be blessed. I want my soul to speak out blessing. I want my soul to not be cracked. Nothing's allowed to get into my soul. And you walk in this place to understand, as my soul goes, I go. And if I'm a wreck, it's because I've allowed contaminants into my soul. And you come to a place to say, listen, how's my soul? Have I lost focus? Have I focused on other things? Have I focused on people? Listen, we're preaching, we're in a hot topic series. This is not this is not the way you fill a church. Yes, there's been arrows. There's been people who've come against. It's just like, no big deal. My soul is secure on the foundation of the Word of God. And I don't mean that in any other way, but the reality is people may not be for you, and you got to be okay with that. The election may not have gone in your direction. You got to be okay with that. You got to come to a place and say, listen, I need to worry about myself. I need to wake up and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I woke up on Wednesday after the election that this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice. It is my choice to rejoice. But we didn't have a result then. So I woke up again on Thursday and said, this is the day the Lord hath made. I shall rejoice and be glad. We didn't actually have a result then either. So I woke up again on Friday, and it's been this repeat. But the reality is, where's your focus? Psalm 103 says this, man, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Can you say today, and we even just sung it, the Lord of my soul. Can your soul be filled in such a way of courage and boldness and fearlessness, and you have that heart of a lion, where the Bible says in Proverbs 28:1, the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs 30:30 says the lion knows who he is and he never retreats before man. That's soul's food, man. That's what happens within your soul to say, I'm going to be okay. I can't speak for anybody else, but I know, you know what? In Christ, I'm going to be okay. How can you say that? Because my soul is good. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Are you in a place this morning that your soul has the ability to still, in all the crazy, in all of 2020, and everything that's taking place even personally in your life that has nothing to do with 2020, that has nothing to do with the election, but your own world flipped upside down, do you have the ability to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me? Bless his holy name. Watch what he says. And forget none of his benefits. Where's your focus? He pardons your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Where's your focus? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me, everything inside. I don't care what's going on the outside. If I know that I'm good on the inside, I'm going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. And you come to this place where the psalmist is reminding us, forget not. Focus. Put your focus on our King and put your focus on his love, how he loves you. Put your focus in your soul to say, man, even in all of this, my soul is okay and my soul has prospered. As my soul goes, I go. And I will bless the Lord within my soul. I will bless his holy name. Every peace that's in me will bless him. He heals, he redeems, he crowns, he satisfies. That's who God is. Come on, get your focus back on him. Here we go. Come on, I want to bounce back into this, Brendan, and we come to a place to say, listen, it is him. We're going to focus on him. We know him. Man, don't lose your focus. Man, this is such an important morning. I believe this, man. This is a turning point for many who walked in this place to have such confusion, walk in this place to be so crushed by whatever taking place. And you come to a place to say, man, I have lost my focus. I'm asking that this morning will be a change. We'll get to the message, but I just think this is so important. Because if you walk out going, I will bless the Lord with my soul. I'm not going to focus on eeny, eeny, miny, moe, man. I'm not going to focus on 2020 any longer, man. It's not have my attention. And it's time to refocus. And everything that's going on all around me, I can say, I'm going to be okay. How can you say that? Because my soul is good. My soul is secure. My soul is concrete. My soul is solid. I'm bold and I am courageous. And guess where that comes from? It comes from the soul, not your surface level stuff. It comes from your soul. And we need to refocus this morning. Man, if you're in this place this morning, I want you to worship and I want you to praise and I want you to sing, that we give our soul an adjustment today. Say, it is time to say, all is well with my soul. It is time to come back to this place to readjust. I have lost focus, and it's time to focus on the one who heals and he redeems and he walks in his place to satisfy and restore. That's our God. Let's focus on him as we close this time of worship.
Amen. God, thank you for this time. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. God, for the beauty in your creation, the constant reminder of your glory. Jesus, thank you for what you have done. Father, thank you for the unity of this body. Thank you for the power that that unity brings. God, let truth always be preached here unashamedly. Jesus, because we know you're worth it. And because we know that there is a world that is without hope. Jesus, let that hope be evident here today. In your holy name, amen.
Hey, come on, you may have a seat. So good. Come on. Hey, can we say thank you to our worship team, and they're just crushing it. So good. Hey, come on, let's get into Psalm 138. Let's get into this. We got a lot to cover. Life, God's choice, man. Life is God's choice. And I tell you what, we've been in this series, and like I said just a minute ago, this is not the way you pack your church, man. This, I'm just telling you, that's not the way that you pack your church. But this is what I believe. I believe there's a great cleansing taking place. I'm not saying people are leaving. Look around, man. We're really in good shape here. God has blessed us with the most amazing people on the planet. And we are so grateful for you being a part of this church. But there's been arrows that are flying and people coming against us. And okay, so be it. Little minnows. We'll be fine. We'll be just fine. Trust me. And you come to a place to realize that God is doing an amazing work. And even in the midst of this crazy season, and you look at an election, and you look at what's going on, and you look at America today, and you can scratch your head and say, where's the church in all of this? And just so you know, man, I have a true love for the church. I love the church, not just Believer's Chapel, but the body of Christ, man. I love the church. I love a purified church. I love a church that is without stain. I love a church that doesn't allow deception to come in. And that's the church that Christ returns for. It's a purified church without contaminants. And you come to a place to get in this series called The Art of Deception. Man, we've covered some pretty hot topics, and we've covered some things that are very real. And you come to a place on the topic of abortion, and we're going to talk about abortion today. We're going to look at life in the womb, or we're going to see God's opinion on this. And I look at this election, and it's a huge election. And you have the Republicans who stand more, and again, I'm not a big, huge fan of Republican or Democrat. I'm a big fan of Jesus and purity. But there is a party that stands more towards the line of abortion. This is the election over. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm just telling you the reality and the fact and the truth is this, that there is a party that stands more for the sense of abortion should be illegal, and they don't stand for abortion. And then there's a political party in the Democrats that stand for abortion even more so now. It's not even, watch this, it's not even, please hear me, it's not just abortion or the right. It's the right for that third trimester. It's the right for that late-term abortion. That at any moment during this pregnancy, if you don't want this child within, kill it. And that is the Democratic line, and that is where they're going. And they have partnered with Planned Parenthood, and finances go to Planned Parenthood, which is just a truly evil, evil organization. And if you do your research on Margaret Sanger, who was the founder of Planned Parenthood, there is some evil within that woman who's long gone, that started Planned Parenthood on an agenda of population control. And you look at, and this is such a serious topic, man. It's such a real deal. Because you look at it, and again, I look at today, and I'm like, where is the church? Where was truly the body of Christ? And I think, honestly, what we're seeing, and we're going to preach on it coming up, and it might even be next week, in regards to the reality of a disciple compared to a Christian. Because the word Christian has been so widely used that everybody's a Christian. But very few are true disciples of Christ, followers of Christ, which means I'm all in, I surrender. I follow you and I follow your word. And everything that comes from us has to line up with his word because we trust him. So that big difference between disciple and Christian. Because people want to still claim that we're a Christian nation. And I'm not convinced of that. I'm not convinced of that. And people say, well, Sean, are you just a one-issue man? When it comes to this issue of abortion and what they're trying to get through, yeah, I'll stick to, if that's what it takes, I'll stick to having a one-issue vote. And you can talk about all kinds of different issues. You can talk about all kinds of different sides. But when you come to a biblical conclusion that abortion is murder, then I can be a one-issue man. And church, we need to get into this because it's something that I think is near and dear to the heart of God. Why? Because watch this. Children are a what from the Lord? Children are a gift from God, Psalm 127. Children, and I love the word behold. It's like an exclamation point. Behold, it's like an announcement. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. The fruit of the womb. Church, well, how do you get fruit? By a seed that is planted. We don't have time to get into the depth of this, but you look at Genesis 3:15. Man, there's a battle that's taking place for a seed. There's a battle that's taking place for a seed, and it's the very seed of Jesus Christ. It's the first mention. You've got Jesus and you've got the enemy and you've got Satan going after the seed where Satan's trying to take out a seed. And you see how Jesus was that seed. A seed was planted all the way into the New Testament in Luke 1, which we'll get to that in just a little bit. But you come to a place to say the fruit of the womb is a reward. And children are a gift. So what do you do when you abuse and violate a gift? You know, the big scientific question, which is, well, who can say when life begins in the womb? Because we've tried to set it up, and it's either the first trimester, the second trimester, the third trimester. When is it at the heartbeat? Is it at, well, it's funny that when man tries to play God, it doesn't go well. When man tries to play God and decide when life actually begins, well, in this year it was this, and this year it was that, and they just keep moving it back, and they can't really come to a conclusion on that. But how about we come to a place to see what the Bible says about conception, and we see what the Bible says about God's plan for every life within a womb. And we look at particular pictures of that. And Renee has this amazing quote to this. If you kill your seed, you can't succeed. Renee said that a couple months ago, and I've just put that into my spirit. If you kill your seed, you can't succeed. And there's a battle for the seed, right from Genesis 3. And I want us to see this and see, okay, what does God say about this? I know this is, and please hear my heart on this, because I know a church this size and an online audience that we get, I know that there's a great possibility, a probability, that there are many women who have gone through just the walk of abortion. And listen, I just want you to know right up front as we get into this, God's grace is enough for you. He loves you desperately. And he will forgive you. For anyone in here or online, man, you come to a place to realize, okay, I understand that this is a sin, but what now? Well, what now is his grace is enough. And if you come to a place to ask for forgiveness and repent, listen, he loves you and he will forgive you and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. From all unrighteousness. And know that there is forgiveness. And know, watch this, know that there can be freedom. And your spirit again, and you've just been struggling with this, and there's been this battle within your soul, and there can be freedom from that. And we come to a place to look at where Scripture is on this. Since 1973, we're up to 60 million abortions in this country, 60 million. And you look at the cash flow to this thing. Over $800 million just in revenue of paid abortions. That's not including government assistance. It's over $1 billion. I don't know if this is, for them, all that about pro-choice, but it's very much about pro-cash. You got to know the facts on these things. And you come to a place to say, what is God's opinion on this? Well, God's opinion is children are a gift. And they are a reward. The fruit of the womb is a reward. And you look at Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. This is David speaking. You formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. Watch this. Here it is. For my soul knows it very well. For my soul knows it very well. For my frame was not hidden from you. And I was, when I was made in secret, skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and you in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. I love this. This is such a great, clear passage. God, you formed me, for you put me together in my mother's womb. And listen, I know the arguments, man. I've seen debate after debate after debate on this. I've seen the arguments. Well, what about, and the first thing, well, what about the rape victim? And that equates for less than 2%. What about incest? Again, put that in with the less than 2%. But what about when the mother's life is at risk? What about when the baby's life is at risk, or the baby is deformed, or there's something wrong with the child? In all of that, rape, incest, the health of the mom, the health of the child, in all of that, that equals less than 5%. So what happens when you hear a fact that 95% of abortions is based off of convenience? I'm not ready for a child. I'm not in a relationship that I want this man to be a part of. I want to go back to school. I don't have enough money. I didn't plan this. I didn't. And all of those are based off of convenience. And you come to a place to say, God, what is it in a sense of where are we biblically as a church that wants to stand firm on the word to say, God, how valuable is life? How valuable is life? When David here says, you formed me in my inward parts, and inward parts it even references the kidneys. The depths of who I am, you began to form me. You wove me. Where? In my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Come on, what happens when you look at this and say, God, what happens as the fruit of the womb? What happens when you can come to a place to say, when does life begin? And when is it that, is it true that God actually knows? Is it true that God actually knows and forms every human being in every womb? And that is the way that he created it, and that is the way that he designed it. Come on, I want you to see something. Genesis 25. You can turn to Luke 1. We'll be in there in a minute. Genesis 25 is going to be up on the screen here. And this is, again, we're just going to zip through some scriptures because I want to make a point. That baby in the womb, it's not just a mass. It's not a fetus is defined as a possible human being. It's not a horse. Right? I mean, it's just, when you look at the reality of the fight against choice, and you look at the reality of the convenience of abortion, and you look at the reality of the laws that protect this, do you realize if you were to go out and find a bald eagle egg and you were to break that egg, you'd be fined and probably go to jail. an egg. That's it. It hasn't been developed yet. Egg hasn't cracked. It's not a baby eagle. And listen, of course I think that's wrong. Of course you shouldn't go just destroy an egg. But can I mean, we could. There's so many examples of this, but the one simple example is, why would you go to jail and be fined for breaking an egg where the bird hasn't yet, the eagle has not yet come out of that egg, and you crush an eagle's egg, you're going to jail and being fined, and that egg, which hasn't yet been fully developed, has more rights than a baby in a womb at 7 months. What happened here? What happened here? When you come to a place, say, do we stand for or against? Or is this just something like, well, it's not my battle? No, it is our battle. It is our battle. And I tell you what, I was truly, I was under conviction. Going, Sean, you haven't talked about this enough. Honestly, as your pastor, I'm under conviction going, where has your voice been to this thing? I'm asking your forgiveness. I haven't hit this thing enough. I haven't talked about this enough. And you come to a place. Say, does this really matter to God? If you really look at the womb and that life in the womb, does it really matter to God if that life in that womb is torn to pieces? Literally. Come on, look at this. Genesis 25, 23 says this. This is Jacob and Esau. This is amazing. 25, 23, and the Lord said to her, this is their mother, says this to Rebekah, says this, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will be separated from your body. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. There's already a plan. God already has a whole plan planned out for these two sons that are in their womb. They'll be separated from your body. When her days were to be delivered, were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first one came forth red, all over like a hairy garment. And they named him Esau, after his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. I love that. There's action within the womb. And these two brothers, they just battled and battled and battled. Judges will be up on the screen. I want you to see this. This is another amazing story. Judges 13. I want you to see this. Judges 13, 3 through 5, it says this. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive. Watch this. You shall conceive. The word conceive here, it means to be with child. To conceive means to be with child. So at conception, you are with child. And then the scientific breakdown, it's amazing because the scientific breakdown, those who really truly support pro-choice would say, well, there's only a point where that's no longer just a part of the female body. When there's conception, that's only just a part of the female body, and then it changes. That's just not accurate. And science will tell you that's not accurate. When conception takes place, immediately when there is a seed that is planted, that seed and that egg have their own set of chromosomes that makes up a whole completely different DNA strand that makes up a whole completely different human being. Every quality that's necessary to be separate from the mom. Watch this. I love this. But you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now, therefore, be careful not to drink wine or strong drink or eat any unclean thing. This is, look at what the angel of the Lord is saying. Hey, listen. Samson is already called from the womb. I have a plan for Samson, and Samson's going to be a Nazarite. And a Nazirite was never allowed to cut their hair, and they were never allowed to touch alcohol. They were never allowed to touch a dead animal. Like, there was a specific call on Samson. And right from birth, the Lord said, listen, I can't have you drink any alcohol, because what happens is that gets transferred to the child. Isn't it amazing that that life within the womb is so vitally important, what the mom does with her body and what she puts in her body, because it has a vital impact on the life that is within. No, that's just a mass. Has no impact on that ball. Has no impact on the embryo. This is, or that substance. Well, why is the angel of the Lord coming here to Samson's mother? She's unnamed. And you come to a place to say, listen, he is called from birth within your womb. You have conceived and you will have a son. And from the very beginning, do not drink alcohol. Do not drink wine. This is the instruction. Why is this so important? Why? Because that's life in her womb, and everything she does has an impact on that baby within the womb. Watch this. We're even impacting his future as a Nazirite. One who has been set apart, one who has been called to live in such a life that would honor God. Right from the womb, don't drink any wine, because that has an impact on that life that is within you. Why? Because it's life. Because it's a life. Come on, we look at this. We look at Jeremiah. I just want to rip through these. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. This is the prophet Jeremiah. Listen, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Why? Because children are a gift from God. The fruit of the womb is a reward. You kill your seed, you can't succeed. Watch it this. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Come on, Galatians 1:15. This is what Paul says. But when God, who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb. What happened? Come on, church, what happened to the 60 million? Did God not have a plan for them? Did God not have a plan for them from the womb? From my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased. Look at Isaiah 49. Let me show you this. Guess who else had a plan from the womb? Jesus Christ. And now says the Lord, who formed me, me is Jesus, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, who formed me from the womb. Jesus himself formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him so that Israel might be gathered to him. This is prophesied from Isaiah about the seed who is Jesus to be what? Formed in the womb. I want you to look at Luke 1, please. I want to read just a little bit, because when you want to question if there's life in the womb, this is amazing, amazing story. You see Jacob and Esau duking it out within a womb. Who's going to come out first? Who's going to be the firstborn? And then you see this incredible story of Mary, who's with child with Jesus, and her cousin Elizabeth, who's with child with Jesus' cousin, who's John the Baptizer. And you see this amazing events unfold where I love this, because when you see that this is just proof of what is taking place within the womb. Well, Sean, the Bible says that Mary was in her sixth month. So she's in the sixth month, and very few pregnancies are aborted. Maybe 2% are aborted after the sixth or seventh. It's a very low percentage. Yeah, but we're looking at life in the womb starts at conception. We're looking at the reality of the God of all power and might, and the God of all creation, He's the one who gives children as a gift. And we see this amazing story, Luke 1, verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee in Nazareth. We'll pick it up in verse 26. I'm just going to read for a minute because I want you to see this story. To a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And I love this because we go back to Genesis 3 and we see where the seed has always been under attack, but there's always been the remnant of that seed. And we pick it right up all the way through the genealogy of Matthew. It shows where Mary was a part of that journey of the seed. Watch this. The descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, for everyone, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement, kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. For he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "Well, how can this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and empower you. The Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth," here it is, "has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, your bondservant. Behold, the bondservant of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed. And at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Watch this, verse 41. This is huge. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, Mary comes in thrilled, excited. What happens? This baby hears Mary's voice, and this baby gives a response within the womb and leaps. Watch this. It gets better. She cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit," what? "The fruit of your womb." Where there's a seed, there's fruit. Where there's a seed, there's fruit. "Blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" Verse 44, here it is. Verse 41 and verse 44. Verse 44, behold, I love that. "For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy." What do you see here? The baby leaped. When the baby heard your greeting, your voice, the baby within my womb moved. It responded in such a way that it was joyful. Listen, moms, you know 100% more than I would know anything about a pregnancy. I know you're extremely beautiful when you're pregnant. 9 months in, you look the best. That's all I can say. Come on. Renee looked her best at 9 months. But I don't know. Maybe, just maybe you know. I don't know. But maybe you know when your baby is angry and kicking you, like, "Would you feed me? I'm hungry in here." Or, "Would you push and get me out of here? Like, this just, come on." Or maybe you just know. There's joy within my womb. And there's joy within this child within my womb. I don't know the difference of the leaping and the kicking. But just maybe a mom does. Because we see here when Mary showed up, the baby leaped. Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit of God. And Elizabeth says, when this child heard your greeting, he leaped with joy. Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is a reward. Church, we come to a place to put our stake in the ground and believe that abortion is murder. And it's not okay. It's not okay. What has happened when a bird's egg is more protected than this amazing gift within the womb? How far have we gone? How far have we gone? Let's come back to a place. Say, I believe that that is life within the womb, and I believe that God has had a plan. I believe God has had a plan for those 60 million. That's just the United States of America. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this crew. Thank you for those who call this place home and who trust the preaching of your word. Father, I thank you for such a sensitive topic. It's a real deal. Father, I do pray for those who have struggled with this, for those who have, even maybe now at the hearing of this and the timing of this, Father, maybe now there's even some, there might be just one who's even considering walking in abortion. Father, I pray that that would be drastically changed. It's worth it. It's worth it to follow through. Father, I'm asking that you would move just even through this message, God. It would impact so many. Father, I pray that we just don't have a license to kill on convenience, God. Father, I pray that this would change. Father, I pray that this would change. I pray that the heart of mankind would change towards this. Here in America, God, it would change towards this. And I pray that your followers would show up and say, enough's enough. Enough's enough. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen.